It's the illustrious from high above Wyoming mainstream media. Joined by Mr. Misdemeanor himself, the Saratoga Sledgehammer. Starting your day the right way on the Independence Network. It's time for the morning show with your hosts, David Iverson and Jailbird Joey.
It's time once again for the morning show on the Independence Network. In the driver's seat, your illustrious host, or at least one of them, David Iverson, and I'm joined by Joey Corrente. Good morning, Joey.
How we doing there, bud?
Doing fantastic. It's going to be 61 up here at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command today. Perfect weather to get the motorcycle out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yesterday was a very gray and grim, rainy, what I called, when I played my show, I called it Music from Eeyore's Jukebox. Just kind of a slow, sad day. But we're already starting to look a little clearer. The sun's coming up here in the Platte Valley. And I'm hoping that gives us a little energy, man, because I'm just feeling spent. Yesterday, I don't know why it was. I love rainy days, but it was a drag.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the wind blew here constantly, and it was rainy and nasty, and it was just terrible. But today, we're apparently turning the corner, and then tomorrow looks like it's going to be even better. So I don't know if we're going to have a good weekend. It's still spring in Wyoming, so you never know what's going to happen. Yeah, so Joey, apparently, it's now one of the proper roles of government to fund drag queens event. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess yesterday wasn't the only drag we were having here in Wyoming. There's a lot of details we're going to have to get into. We have a lot of documentation on this, but the fact that these things exist, and I want to start my position at least on this, it's no surprise. We've talked about drag shows all over the place. They've happened in Wyoming. Personally, I don't have a problem with this kind of expression, this kind of lifestyle. You want to do it? That's fine. My problems have always been, are you focusing on kids? Are you violating other people's liberties? And are you taking tax dollars or the general public paying for this? And in almost every story that we've had here on your show or the Independence Network, it always ends up that there's tax dollars involved and or it's focused at kids. And in this case, it's directly from the Department of Health giving this group a grant to have a boozing, draggy good time. And I don't know why the taxpayer's on the hook for this. Why would the state even want to associate its name with this? In fact, I think one of the pieces of information we don't have facts and data on is why they were originally posting the state health department and the state government as sponsors, and then it came down. Who requested that? Was the state like, no, you don't put our name on this, even though we're giving you taxpayer money for it? Or did drag queen bingo and drunken debauchery night at the taxpayer expense decide, oh, maybe it's better if we don't admit we took taxpayer dollars? That's the only thing that I think we can't prove, but we can prove that the money came from taxpayers. It went through Governor Gordon's executive branch health department, and it is definitely a problem, not because it's drag queen bingo. That's a bonus problem, but because the state should not be funding things like this with taxpayer dollars.
Well, I think that's the biggest problem with it, that it's funded by, at least in part, by the Department of Health. And I don't think you could come up with a single compelling argument why taxpayers need to be paying for events like this. Now, the grant was applied for under the guise of AIDS and communicable disease prevention. And so, like most of the drag queen events that I've covered on the program and that we've talked about on the Independence Network, they're run under the guise of some benevolent purpose. So in this case, it's to prevent or to promote AIDS awareness and talk about communicable diseases. But if you look at their advertisement website, and it's the website is easy to go to. It's YOAIDS, as in WYOAIDS.org/bingo. And right on the website, you scroll down, and the very first thing it says is Drag Queen Bingo 2024. This is not your grandmother's church parlor bingo. It's Drag Queen Bingo. And it goes on and on, and it's this year is its theme is Rhinestone Cowboy. And then they have a little section that says free rapid HIV testing. Right above that, it says, reminder, this show is rated R, really not for kids. So taxpayer dollars are first going to a drag queen show. And they explicitly say that this is R-rated. So you know that there's going to be, there's probably going to be some nudity, I would imagine. There's probably going to be some, sexual situations. So, again, why are Wyoming taxpayers on the hook for this thing? I can't think of a single justification for it, unless, of course, the person that approved this, and I've got her name here, Leslie, let me get to my thing here. Let's see here. That's the application. Just a second here. But, you know, Joey, they openly say what it is. And so I don't understand how Wyoming taxpayer dollars can go to something. This, the person that authorized this, or at least signed the award letter, is... Her name is Leslie Fowler, and her title is Manager, Prevention Program, Communicable Disease Unit, Public Health Division. And it's put on State of Wyoming letterhead. And what it looks like is that there were two grants of $1,500 each. And just reading from the award letter, it says the purpose of this letter is set forth the terms and conditions by which the Communicable Disease Unit shall provide funding for the 2024 HIV prevention, education, and testing event room rental. So that's how it was applied for. Prevention, education, and testing. But the award letter doesn't say that it's going to be drag queen bingo. You've got to go to the application for the grant funding to find that out. So I'd just like to know, I would like to ask this Leslie Fowler lady, why did you think that this was even an appropriate use of taxpayer dollars? I mean, what is the logical stretch there that you made to assume you could give $3,000 of our money to a bunch of drag queens to get drunk and put on a sexual drag show?
Well, I'm going to throw out, a little bit of grace here. I'm not saying it's okay. I definitely have a problem with the fact that it happened. She may not have known because, as you stated, there's nothing in the application that indicates to the state that, hey, we're going to be doing a boozed up cowfolk party with drag queens and calling it this other thing. We would really have to get to the bottom of that with the individual that signed it. And I'm sure that even if she was aware and it was intended to be that way, or she guided them on say, hey, when you fill out the application, don't mention these things. Just talk about these other things that you're doing over here. I don't know. I just know that we don't have evidence that Drag Queen Bingo told the health department this is for Drag Queen Bingo and getting the LGBTQTMNOP, whatever, community drunk.
Well, Joey.
So once we have the evidence, I'll go full bore. I will still hold the Department of Health accountable because they didn't do their research. This is what... 1% of the $300,000 the Department of Health also gave to Wyoming Equality just for condoms. I get that there's a health issue to what you're talking about, a condom for every adult human being in the state of Wyoming. If it's a buck a piece or a dollar for condoms for every adult human being in the state of Wyoming, we are wasting tons of money. And it has to be known at this point, this is where I'm going to go kind of back on what I said, that you have to do more investigation into the request for these types of grants because of the things that have already happened. So the people that are saying, oh, this doesn't happen in Wyoming, it does happen. We do pay for it. It's happened in the past enough to where this is taxpayer dollars. These people need to be more responsible with the money, especially when we just came out of a budget where the Department of Health is pleading poverty all over the place. Again, this is going to be a little, you know, out of character for me. I will say, hey, at least they went and stated on their flyer that this may not be appropriate for children. They didn't go out and say, hey, no kids allowed, which they should have. But it doesn't matter because they're violating a couple of the other tenets that I hold pretty true to of if you want this stuff, pay for it yourself. Stop banging away at the public dole. Get off the teat. If it's that important, people will show up and you'll be able to fund your stuff on your own. Nobody gives the Republican Party money to throw our fundraisers, our awareness programs. And I think we would probably be pretty quickly arrested if we got a dime of taxpayer money for anything.
I'd like to go back to the first thing that you said, because it just so happens I have in my little pause the application for funding. And here's what it says, and I quote, Drag Queen Bingo, and this is under the category of activity proposed. Drag Queen Bingo, our annual fundraiser, employs prevention messages and information throughout the event. Our plan is to educate the attendees about HIV/AIDS as well as safe sex practices and prevention, while providing the perfect opportunity to encourage testing and knowing your status, PrEP, and prevention. While providing these messages are presented leading up to the event and throughout the night of the event, in addition to condom distribution, prevention literature, and free HIV testing conducted by the Albany County Public Health. So, yeah, they did admit that it was going to be Drag Queen Bingo. But if you compare the website, the advertisement, to the application, what they're telling the Department of Health it's going to be, the two seem to be, well, just a little opposite. You know, one says it's a rated R event. This one says, well, it's all about education and awareness and helping these poor people out.
Yeah, now hearing that, I'll go ahead and say the Department of Health definitely would be on the hook there, because they say that all of the qualifying events that would make them eligible for the grant are being performed by Albany County Public Health. That means at least at the county level, there was full awareness. I'll lean into that. And we've had problems with this in the past. Here in Carbon County, we used to have a regular table set up by our Carbon County Public Health at the Music in the Park event during the summer. And for a whole year, all of it was promotion of LGBTQ awareness. And they were giving away a lot of things that were more than just condoms and videos that were almost like how-to videos, kind of like we run into these books in the library. They're not just awareness. It's not information. It's almost just entertainment. And the backup was, you know, well, there's special diseases and health concerns that the homosexual community runs into, and AIDS and HIV is one of them. And it's like, wait a minute. Are you telling me that heterosexuals can't get AIDS or HIV? It has to be focused on this group and go to the point where you're promoting a certain lifestyle with taxpayer dollars. Don't mind if you do it on your own. But you can't just say AIDS is a disease. This is how you get it, regardless of your lifestyle, and stop giving out, you know, gay porn and feather boas on the taxpayer dime. So we've seen this before. And anytime the Department of Health, especially at the county level, is involved, I'm very wary, not only of, you know, I gave them more credit than they were due for their level of awareness, but their intent. Remember back to COVID. It was the county health officers that were going across everywhere, shutting stuff down before old Go Green Gordon did his stuff. So we definitely need to be concerned about this. And it's almost like, what is it? Clark Stith's like, it's not a big deal. I sponsored a drag show once. And then Governor Gordon's like, hold my white claw. Let me show you how it's done. This is his health department. It may not be his fault, but the governor is the executive overseeing all of these departments. And that award letter you were talking about, it has official state letterhead. If you look at the top of that, either to the right or to the left, whose name's on there? It should say...
It says Mark Gordon.
Yeah. And I want to be really, really clear on this. I may believe differently, but the truth is it may not be his fault directly, but it's absolutely his responsibility, and we can lay at his feet. saying Mark Gordon went and planned this and approved this. No, but he appointed and he oversees the person that did. And the expenditure of state funds, once they are appropriated to the executive branch, that's Mark Gordon's responsibility. And I am not surprised whatsoever that one of his appointed officials hired somebody that thought that this would be okay and a good expenditure of taxpayer funds, again, in a budget year where they just pled poverty and they said, we need all this money for all this other stuff. You know, I wonder how much LGBTQ support they're putting into the suicide hotline now. Now we have to look at all these departments and say, hey, do you have a special, you know, line for just the gay people with the problems or whatever? It's a huge concern. And I bet you this is just the surface. If we really got to go in and look and audit not just the money, but the processes of each of these departments, we would find tons of stuff like this all across the state.
Absolutely. A couple of things on what you just mentioned. Now, last year, actually, about this time, I did a couple of stories. One, the undercover investigation into the University of Wyoming with the drag queen training. And now that one, as far as I could tell, there was no money that exchanged hands between, you know, the state and the folks that put on the drag queen event. But the vehicle by which they put on the event was the University of Wyoming, and it was the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and it was the Office of Multicultural Affairs, and the Director of Gender and Sexuality, Tyler Wolfgang, he was the guy that put it on, and he participated in it. So while there was no money that exchanged hands like there is in this case, there's still the public building, which, by the way, it was put on in the education auditorium, which it was, you know, really, really close to an elementary school. But we did pay for the building. We did pay for the lights. We are paying the salary of that guy. And a bunch of taxpayer dollars went to DEI and the Multicultural Affairs. Compare that to the other investigation I did of the group Drag for a Cause down in Rock Springs. The big difference here is that Drag for a Cause, that was all funded privately. Unless, of course, you consider drag show Clark Stith donating to it. I'm sure that was his own money or whatever. But the point is, that one was almost exclusively funded by private donations. However, it was in some ways worse than what happened at the University of Wyoming. One, because there was a lot of booze flowing around there, so it's the same thing as this drag queen bingo. And second, there was, by my count, at least a dozen young children running around that event. Now, this new version of the drag queen bingo, it explicitly says that it's R-rated. It doesn't, however, say children not allowed. But I think that most, well, and again, I was almost going to say most thinking parents would say R-rated, not a good place for a kid. But if you're going to bring your kids to a drag show, I don't think that you really care if it's R-rated or not. But there's two very, very similar things. The only difference in this case is there's taxpayer dollars explicitly going to the group that's putting this on under the guise of putting on AIDS awareness. And again, if you look at their website, that's just a small part of it. The rest of it is how fantastic it's going to be. And, you know, there's avatars of drag queens. And I mean, it's the website goes on and on and on. So clearly the AIDS awareness and awareness of communicable diseases, that's just a way that they got their money, honestly. So, I mean,
and the more I'm thinking about it is if the Albany County Public Health is involved in all of the health and medical side, the information, the presentations, whatever, like they said in their flyer, what did they need the $3,000 for other than, room rental?
Yeah.
So we're paying the rent on this stuff. You know, the Albany County Public Health, they're already paid by taxpayer dollars. So all the stuff that it seems they're doing at this event that would make them, again, eligible for this grant is by utilizing an amenity that government already has established and taxpayers pay for. So it's literally good money after bad, just so they can have a party, because all of the health related standards and requirements are being handled. You don't need any money for that. You know, these people are already paid. All of their information is already part of their regular job. So it's absolutely ridiculous that we are continually running into a position where in some way or form, taxpayer dollars are being given and expended on things that are largely inappropriate. All the peripheral stuff outside of the AIDS awareness. Again, the New Year's Eve show in Rock Springs that Wyoming Democrat Party Chairman Joe Barbuto hosted was held at that theater that's owned by the city of Rock Springs. That may not be a direct expenditure, but first of all, why the hell does a municipality own a theater at taxpayer expense in competition with private industry? We've had that conversation, but why is it that all of the events that are held there are always questionable? These people can't, you know, they've got the Sweetwater Events Complex. They have plenty of rental space out there that they could do other things at. But yeah, it's always on our dime to get their special interests across the finish line. And it never turns into what ultimately the goal is. I think people are aware that AIDS exists. I think people are aware of how you avoid getting communicable, at least sexually transmitted diseases, which I don't even think that's what they call them anymore. They got a new politically correct name for, because, oh no, disease is a bad word. Anyway, and if not, then really we need to go back to looking at our education system, because if kids aren't coming out of eighth grade health class knowing where STDs come from and what kind of lifestyles and actions are medically, you know, impactful and that they may have to address through their, you know, lifestyle choices, then we're failing across the board, not just wasting money on drag shows.
I think you brought up another interesting point too, that if the Republican Party wanted to throw, I don't know, a dance, and we said, yeah, you know, there's probably going to be a cash bar, and it's just going to be an event to where we'll dance and we'll have some music, and we'll also allow the Department of Health to have a table there, but we need money to pay for the venue. What do you suppose the chances are that we'd get the Department of Health to pay for a Republican event? Not that we would ever ask them, but I mean, my guess is that would be flatly denied.
Yeah, if not investigated for fraud in the application process, you're attempting to defraud the government of public funds. You know, we see it all the time. We just had a case here in Carbon County where a couple went on trial for defrauding the government when it came to, you know, food stamps and other types of welfare assistance. That's the group we would be put in. Not these, oh, well, our bad. You know, we wanted to, we intended to do this, that, and the other. It just ended up being, you know, a drunken drag party. Sorry. And, you know, not even a slap on the wrist. But yeah, as Republicans, as conservatives, we might get investigated and indicted just for submitting the application as attempted fraud.
The other thing that I definitely think is worth exploring here is, if your government is so big that you're funding drag queens, I mean, you would have to say that we have a problem with spending. I don't see in any way, shape, or form that this fits anywhere into the proper role of government, funding drag shows. And I mean, when you get down to it, it's prurient sexual behavior. It's men dancing around in women's lingerie. So where did we get to the point, or how did we get to the point that the proper role of government is spending money on sexual behavior for one particular segment of the population? I mean, it just blows my mind that some people think this is a proper expenditure of taxpayer dollars, especially when everybody is complaining about the high taxes that they're being forced to pay. Now, I understand that most of the tax controversy is surrounding property taxes, but we get taxed in a whole bunch of different ways. Property taxes, sales taxes, license plate fees, you name it. So I would like this Leslie Fowler to explain to me how this is a proper use of my money. How did, I mean, what was the decision-making calculus that led her to believe that giving $3,000 to a bunch of drag queens was a proper use of money. In fact, I'm going to reach out to this Leslie Fowler just to see if she can explain it to me. Not that I think I'll get a response, but you know, you never know. Maybe. But I think some people need to answer some questions here.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you talk to her, ask her if she was aware or if she's surprised or in any way concerned that some of that money, whether it was directly or indirectly, and I'll explain that in a second, went to the prizes for winning the bingo, which included sex toys and sexually graphic video materials. So again, we're in another situation, going back to one of our other regular arguments of the state government is allowing taxpayer funds to be spent on pornographic items and materials. And so where I wanted to explain the whole in part, maybe indirectly, but it's still a problem. When the Department of Health gives a grant, let's say we'll use this situation, and they say, well, we wanted it for renting the venue. Now that money may not be directly spent on these, any booze, any of these, you know, sex toys they're giving away, any of that stuff, but it offsets the cost. So indirectly, that money, taxpayer money, is being spent on these things. Otherwise, this group would have to come up with the money on that for that on their own. So I don't sit there and say, well, technically, you didn't spend the money we gave you on this. You only spent it on renting a room. But yeah, it made these other things possible and affordable for you. And I'm still not okay with it. And I will hold their feet over the fire, because once they take that check and put it into the bank account, it's a pool of money. And once that money touches other money, sorry, I'm not sorry. You just spent taxpayer dollars on sex toys.
Exactly right. You know, it's, and again, you know, for me, I'd just like to know why this is a good use of taxpayer dollars. I mean, but it's like everything that you mentioned, Wyoming Equality getting $300,000 out of, I believe it was out of CARES funding to distribute condoms. Now, I would just venture a guess that they couldn't tell you where every dime of that $300,000 went. Yes, it was given under the guise of providing condoms, but like you said, it just goes into a giant pool, and I would like to see the accounting of where every one of those $300,000 went. You know, and again, if we have to spend $300,000 on condoms for an LGBTQ advocacy organization, where else are we spending money on ridiculous causes? I'm not saying that disease prevention is a ridiculous cause. What I am saying, however, is assuming that these groups are going to spend your money like they said they were going to is a ridiculous notion, because I'd venture to say, given everything that we know about these organizations buying sex toys and giving them away as prizes, I would venture to say there's probably not a very good accounting of where this money is going. Not just this event, but all of them.
Or very good management of the Department of Health in the first place. I don't know if this would technically fall in line with the violation of the Constitution that we talk about on a regular basis, but giving taxpayer money to charities, all these other groups that are not completely under the control of the state, and they justified this grant by saying, well, you're doing AIDS awareness, so that falls in line with what we do. Here's your money. If the Department of Health at the state level was actually interested in making sure AIDS awareness was a thing, they would have given that $3,000 to Albany County Public Health and said, improve your AIDS awareness program. This is what we do, not throw parties. So the fact that they have the money, they're giving it to other groups, not running their department efficiently or effectively to where outside groups have to ask for this kind of money to do their job for them, and then come back and say, again, I'm not going to let this one go, during the budget session, oh, the Department of Health needs XYZ amount of more dollars than we're used to getting because, you know, pleading poverty across the board. It's absolutely ridiculous. If you take all the emotion or the fact that it was a drag show out, this is evidence from within the Department of Health that the Department of Health is an absolute failure in doing its job. Otherwise, all of these funds would have gone to the already established county departments of health to make this kind of awareness and public interaction happen on a regular basis without getting drunk and giving away sex toys.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is just, I find it absolutely revolting. And knowing now that I probably paid for it, or at least part of it, our government is so out of control that it's absolutely, absolutely incredible. And this is just one example of it. During the legislative session, Joey, how many times did we hear budget amendments that specifically related to the Department of Health? Like you said, they were pleading poverty, but it seemed like every other amendment, and we're not talking small dollars, millions upon millions of dollars is going to the Wyoming Department of Health. And, you know, when you compare the $3,000 check, well, actually, what they're doing is reimbursing expenses. So one of the things we need to do is FOIA the expense report from the drag queens to the Department of Health, so we can see an accounting of that money, see how they spent all of those dollars. But the Department of Health isn't wanting for money. If we have extra cash available to fund drag queen shows, they have entirely too much money. Secondly, I'd like to know why the state of Wyoming is involved in promoting sexuality. You know, because that's essentially what this is. I don't care what you call it. You've got men prancing around in women's lingerie. It's an overtly sexual activity. So please show me where that's within the Department of Health's mandate. I guess maybe you could make an argument to say that, well, this is doing community outreach. Yes, we have to reach these people. Maybe you could make an argument there. But again, why is this going to giving away sex toys as prizes? Why do we have to have an R-rated show to inform people about the dangers of AIDS? So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions that Leslie Fowler and the Department of Health need to answer, and they need to do it quickly.
Well, all I know is if you're a man dressed up in women's underwear and you're going to reach out to me, I'm going back to jail. We're going to waste a whole lot more tax money on feeding and housing jailbird Joey. That's just not going to work out well. But again, I also think that this needs to be laid at the foot of the governor and maybe even get him on the record saying, do you support this? Is this something that you intended when you appointed the person that hired this person or even had this department open? Is this a proper use of government funds? Mr. Go Green Gordon, I want my $350 million, but no, we don't have money for a water tower in Wheatland or this, that. But we got money for sex toys. Absolutely. Kind of funny that they called this the Rhinestone Cowboy event. Maybe that was a little nod to our governor. I don't know. We'll have to find out. But definitely, the governor needs to come out and make a statement. And if he either says, oh, nope, I totally stand behind my Department of Health, then you'll know that you know. And if he comes out against it, that should be a trigger for him to take some action. And I know executives don't like micromanaging their departments. That's why they hire people. That's why they have a cabinet. But when it's as egregious as this, yeah, the governor needs to get involved and pull somebody out onto the carpet in front of his desk and say, you explain to me how this was okay to do in my name. Because my name as the chief executive of the state is at the top of the letter that you sent out approving this action. And it's just another opportunity for Mark Gordon to, show his value, which I believe is pretty low. I doubt that it'll happen, but this falls at the feet of the governor as his responsibility, whether it was his fault or not. We can get into that some other time. Definitely his responsibility. And I would expect, even if we had a Democrat governor, to come out and make the statement on whether they supported it or not, whether they agree with it or not. And this is the way we believe Wyoming should be run. The people deserve that answer from their chief executive.
Absolutely. And one last comment I would make on this. I suppose you could say, well, it's only $3,000. It was two grants, totally. Actually, it was $2,998, I believe, because it was two grants of $1,499 a pop. I guess you could say, well, it's only $3,000. Uh-huh. Tell that to the 98-year-old woman she's 83 years old in Sheridan, that had to go back waiting tables to pay her property taxes. I'm pretty sure $3,000 would be a heck of a lot of money to her. Or to my family. We had to struggle to pay our property taxes. Now, admittedly, we've got a little bit more property than some other people, but we still had to struggle to pay the property taxes. So please tell me how $3,000 is not a lot of money, and you know, it's just community outreach. I'd like to hear the answers to all of those questions. Now, moving on a little bit, Joey, there was an article, I believe, in the Cow Pie that it was all about how Senator Jim Anderson won the sweepstakes for the most amount of bills passed. I didn't know we were having a contest to create more government.
And that's really what it comes down to. You know, easy bills pass, bills that expand or overfund departments of government tend to pass, like we just talked about with the Department of Health. But yeah, apparently Leo Wolfson, I don't know why he thought it was important, took his own lane and his own facts and data and assigned importance to how many individual bills. And these weren't, hey, I'm Jim Anderson, this is my bill. They've given him credit for co-sponsorship, as they do throughout, as he, Leo does throughout the story. Assigning, let's see, Senator Anderson, a 77% success rate. So 77% of the bills that had Jim Anderson's name on it passed. And I don't know if that's a metric that we really want to roll off of, but it's one of the things that apparently is important to the people over at the Cow Pie. Make your people look good. Again, blame the Freedom Caucus for keeping that number down, even though most of the really egregious attacks on those success rates were from governor's vetoes, not from failure to pass bills on the floor. But I guess take it however you want to take it. I'm personally a fan of the Calvin Coolidge adage of it's more important to kill bad legislation than get your name on what you think is good legislation. And all this is doing is throwing a hoorah softball to a bunch of people that pass somewhat concerning or not terribly important legislation, saying, oh, they got more done. And because it's going straight assigning credit for having your name on a bill that passed, it equalizes the weight and the importance of these bills. For example, Dan Furphy passed a bill with his name on it about hearing aids, adult hearing aid program, that said if you're over 200% of the poverty level and you need hearing aids, we're going to start a program for you. Now, this is going to be, this one's going to be expensive in the future. Right now, it's only costing us $90,000. But what they did was, again, gave money to the Department of Health. And it's only $90,000 now, but they assigned a Department of Health person to create a new position to assess individuals' income and hearing loss and say, okay, you qualify for this program. And the money that they gave, well, it'll buy about five, six pair of hearing aids. They're running about $6,000 a pair plus what this position costs. You know, next year during supplemental budget, which will likely come up, or in subsequent budget years, this department, this program is going to grow exponentially because all of a sudden you're going to have all these poor people that need hearing aids. They assign the same value to that bill that they did to Chloe's Law. It's a one for every one is worth one. And I kind of liken it to the way Leo sets his balancing standard here. As long as you passed a bill that you co-sponsored, at least you get a point. To a lot of the traditional red coat Republican, whatever we're calling them now. This was really big when the frontier Republicans were trying to make their move of, we support the platform at least 80%. We're not all the way there on the abortion or the guns thing. Well, guess what? Those two carry a lot more weight than most of the others. So yeah, the content of the position you're supporting or the bill you're passing is way more important than the number of wins that you have. You know, I remember a few years ago when I was running for office, I got asked the same question all the time. One of two questions. Would you ever work on a piece of legislation with somebody from across the aisle? Or, and this is my least favorite question in campaigns, can you say something nice about your opponent or tell me something you agree on with your opponent? And that came down to, well, yeah, there is legislation I can work with on Democrats, and there are votes that Jerry Paxton made that I agree with. Like when they made the jackalope the official mythical creature of the state of Wyoming. That's a bill that passed. Somebody sponsored it. Would I give them you know, political credit for it? Absolutely not. And that's why that was my answer. There are some bills out there that are just really not all that important, especially when you get further down into the story and they're talking about Senator Eric Barlow, which had some direct quotes, and Trey Sherwood, I believe. Yep, Trey Sherwood, where they both admit, it's been my approach throughout my time in the legislature to pick bills brought to me from my community. And I do not, let's see, during budget sessions, I only focus on signing my name to bills that are simpler, less controversial, so I can spend most of my energy on the budget bill. So now we're giving people a bunch of credit for admitting, oh, we do the easy, non-controversial stuff. That's why our numbers are so high, because it's palatable to everybody and they're easy stuff. I'm not going out there doing the hard work. So all in all, I don't know if the CalPI is trying to start its own legislative rating system, but if this is going to be their standard, yeah, you could just throw that one out with the prevailing wind.
There's so much more in this article than I think is actually written. First of all, is the assumption that we have to pass new laws. On average, every single legislative session, there is about 600 laws that are passed. And, you know, some sessions it's lower, some it's higher. It was probably lower this time around. But think about it. 600 different things that got changed in Wyoming law just about each and every single year. I doubt very seriously that you and I could sit down and come up with a list of 600 different laws that need changed. Rather, what we would probably find is a bunch of laws that we need to eliminate, repeal, that is. But there's this idea in the government or in the media that in order to be an effective legislator, you have to pass legislation. Well, what about the metric of repealing legislation that was passed in previous years? Repealing restrictions. For example, House Bill 125 repealed the whole gun-free zones thing. Now, of course, the governor vetoed that. But as far as successful legislation that came out of one branch of the government, I would say that that one would definitely be one of it. The 25% tax cut for everybody in the state of Wyoming, or not a property tax cut for all property owners in the state of Wyoming. That was a pretty big piece of legislation. Now, of course, the governor vetoed it, but it got out of one branch of our government. But you don't count those. The only ones that Trotsky counts are the ones that has the governor's signature on it, or that became law. But when did we get to a place where we just assume that we have to pass new laws? Now, I get it. You know, it's a legislative office, and you kind of think that you should legislate in that office, but that also includes repealing bad laws. Like you mentioned Calvin Coolidge, and he's on my list of top 10 presidents. Actually, he's pretty well close to the top of it. But killing bad legislation is way more important than passing dumb hearing aid bills or legislation that gives the Department of Health more money. Now, and this is an interesting point that I've been watching for quite a while. It's pretty difficult to get a single piece of legislation passed. There's a lot of steps that it has to go through. And if you get one through that's pretty clean, that doesn't have amendments on it, that's almost, you know, a really big feat, because there's, you know, in our legislature, there's 93 different ideas of what good legislation is. But what about the idea of reducing regulations? That might be a good piece of legislation, but again, that probably wouldn't fit on Trotsky's list. Now, other people that he didn't mention. Let's take Representative Mark Jennings. He had five different bills, one of which happened to be a complete remake of our property tax structure. That was the acquisition value tax bill. That one never even made it out of Albert Sommer's drawer. Didn't even get a vote on that one. There were a lot of cases where, you know, different representatives had really what I consider to be really important pieces of legislation that they didn't even want to talk about because Albert Sommers knew that it would be pretty popular on the floor. Let me give you another example. Our pal Ken Pendergraft had a bill that would have established a committee in the legislature to examine government overreach, to look at regulations that, you know, infringed on the Wyoming Constitution or the U.S. Constitution, and then provide that report to the legislature. So it's an example of a bill that that would have examined the overreach of government. Conceivably, the Department of Health funding of drag shows may have ended up on their list. But that bill was an attempt to reduce the size of government. Now, while that one did get a vote on the floor, it died unceremoniously. In fact, and last year, Wildfile voted that piece of legislation the dumbest bill or the stupidest idea or something. I can't even remember the language they used around it. But still, there's a lot of pieces of legislation that would have been critical to the state of Wyoming and probably should have at least had a hearing. Now, the last piece of Trotsky's article is also interesting because he can't avoid getting a dig in at the Freedom Caucus. And he does admit that the Freedom Caucus legislators, or at least the conservatives, he doesn't use that term, signed their names to more bills than average. So, for example, Scott says, quote, Scott Smith was the least successful, going 0 for 23 on bills that he co-sponsored and 0 for 2 on his own bills. Okay, so literally what happens in the legislature is different senators and representatives, they literally go around and they've got their bill in their hands and they show it to one of their colleagues and say, would you sign on to this? And literally what happens is they look at it and go, huh, that's a good idea. Yeah, I can get behind that. And they sign their name to the piece of paper. That's it. Now, there's a possibility that if it would come to, for example, if it was a Senate bill and it came over to the House, well, one of the people that co-sponsored it would floor manage that piece of legislation. But Trotsky can't avoid, you know, getting at least one little jab in at the Freedom Caucus members. And the whole idea behind the article, I think, is representative of one of the biggest problems in our state, that we have to pass bills, that we have to pass pieces of legislation, that no matter what it is, there has to be a law on it. Second thing, and this is going to go more to the national level. It's really difficult to get a piece of legislation through the Senate, the House, get it on the president's desk, and get it signed, especially when your president is Joe Biden. But one of the tactics that the United States Congress has used, and fortunately in Wyoming, we have a law against this. We have the one bill, one subject rule. But what they've done more increasingly is include lots of different bills in something that's critically important, you know, like the, defense spending or something like that. They'll attach some crazy bill to something that you really don't have any choice but to vote for. And that's how they legislate in Congress. So you attach something that, a good example would be Furphy's bill, the hearing aid thing. You might hide that in the defense bill and get it passed that way. So again, we need to take a really hard look at, you know, what is the proper role of the legislature? Is it to just pass bills on your own pet projects, or is it to, you know, manage Wyoming statutes, you know, either in passing legislation or by repealing it? But I don't think that Trotsky doesn't understand the concept of, you know, reducing the size of government or, you know, not passing bills. And I think that there's kind of this general idea in our legislature specifically that if you're elected as a representative, your job is to go down there and pass laws. Well, no, it's to represent the voice of your people and or your constituents. And we've got to get away from this idea that, you know, we have to pass laws because it results in dumb things like drag shows getting funded and everybody getting free hearing aids in a couple of years.
And that's one of the issues that we bring up in almost every legislatively related conversation we have. Let's talk about the Department of Health. How did they have a program based on the law that would allow this? The big argument right now about the wolf issue, there's not enough laws. The law is not clearly defined enough. Almost everything having to do with elections and political parties. there is not clear definition. It's very gray, poorly worded. And if you go to the definition section, there's not very specific and concise definitions of what these words mean, including bona fide resident. That's a big one that I talked about on my show yesterday with registering to vote. If you want to pass a bunch of bills, if we're going to take that as, okay, well, in order to be successful, you got to pass a bunch of bills, then I don't mind seeing legislators bringing bills that are purely definitions. That's fine. Jeanette Ward tried that this year with the What is a Woman Act. All it did was say, when we use these terms in law, this is what it means. So I'll go for that. If you want to have 600 bills, let's have 550 of them being clarifying the language and the definitions in already existing statutes that were poorly written and passed, can't be enforced because of the bad language or the unclear language that is in there. And that would be one step closer to ultimately what you said, and I believe the repeal of bad legislation. So I would never say, well, this person got 50 bills passed, so it's better. But of course, I'm a little more involved in that. But again, this is another one of those the media and the left trying to own the narrative and saying what, telling us what should be important to us, telling us what bumper stickers and numbers they're going to keep pointing to get this vote, because they know that this is a very important election coming up in August. The primary is going to make or break this conservative push and the death rattle of the traditional liberal left-leaning, left-wing Republicans. And you're going to continue to see stuff like this. I don't want to dismiss it as, oh, it was just an interesting math problem Leo came up with because he was bored. No, there's intent behind this. They are trying to convince you that their people who do bad things as Republicans are good because they're successful by somebody else's matrix. You have to have your own principles. You have to do your own research, and don't take our word for it. That's another common standard here on the Independence Network. We're telling you that you need to go look at something. Go look at all the bills that had Jim Anderson's name on it. Tell me how many of them you agree with or thought were important enough to waste time during a budget session when they had so many other things to do that, I don't know, how many, six bills in the House didn't even get assigned to committee because they just had so much work and we wasted all of our time with these roll call votes. Tell me how much of what any of these quote unquote successful legislators that Leo's pointing out actually did anything that is important to you, your community, or Wyoming as a whole. And you'll find that that 77% doesn't account for much in reality.
One other issue I wanted to get your thoughts on. We mentioned the wolf thing kind of in the beginning of the broadcast this morning. But I went through all of the articles on the cow pie about the wolf incident down in Daniel, Wyoming yesterday. And I mean, they've hit it from just about every single angle. Front page of the Turkey Vulture this morning, there's a big picture, and it's got screenshots of all the different articles surrounding the wolf thing. Do you think that this is an attempt by the media? And I mean, it's the media that's driving this thing. And, you know, I mean, there's been death threats and all sorts of crazy stuff surrounding this. But do you think that the media is going a little overboard on this whole wolf incident? I mean, I'm just curious what your thoughts on it are.
Well, I guess I would say yes. I think it's an important issue. They're going overboard with the direction they're going. They're feeding the outrage so that they can print more about the outrage. They're not really helping understand or address the issue. It's actually the facts are a very short story. We covered it on one of our morning shows, and really it comes down to you're allowed to feel whatever you feel about what this guy did. The problem is that we don't have a law, or the laws we do have aren't appropriate, aren't impactful enough, or aren't being used properly. I brought up the fact that, hey, this is theft and destruction of government property. Now, leading with my mistakes, when I looked, and I did look last night, it may not be a felony because a gray wolf tag in Wyoming is only about $185. But if you take the standard that Ogden Driscoll applied to travel, tourism, and hunting dollars that we spend, for every $1, we get $8 in return. So if you throw the multiplier on that, yeah, that wolf was worth about $1,400, $1,500 to the state of Wyoming. I know that would be a tough legal argument. But even in some of their stories here, they point out that it was a very quiet issue. It was a citation and a fine of $250 from Game and Fish until the media-driven public outcry forced it to be more. And right now, we don't have a law that very easily and cleanly makes it something more, even though there's another investigation going on by the Sublette County Sheriff and the prosecutor in that county. It really is. The media, they don't really have anything else right now. This is what they call, what I call, free chicken. And as long as they keep that outrage up, then, hey, they're getting the clicks that they want. I do think that they're overutilizing the reality of the situation, and they're not doing the whole, and we'll update you when something happens. They're updating you four times a day when nothing has happened. They posted a video. Oh, we did a FOIA request. We got a video. It's two clips totaling 4 seconds of the wolf laying on the floor in the bar. We already knew the wolf was in the bar. We saw the picture. So yeah, I think it's being overutilized, overplayed a little bit, and it does nothing to help the legal, legislative, or judicial process that needs to be addressed or utilized to deal with this situation. Also, the other thing they keep doing is saying, oh, there's death threats, there's people coming out of the woodwork, and providing a platform for more of that to happen. If you look at the comments on Facebook under each of these stories, it's more people saying, capital punishment, and let's tape this guy's mouth up and throw him to the wolves, see how well he does. While in their story, they're saying they're advocating against that kind of thing. I think if they just said, well, when we have real information, when the investigation's done or the prosecutor brings charges, we'll update it, it would be a little more appropriate.
Now, I don't know where I saw it, but one of the articles, I was interviewing a member of the public, and in like in the center of the piece, there was a quotation from this Wyoming citizen said, "We need legislative action." Well, I think that a lot of this is what you said. You know, there's a really kind of a lack of material going on right now. And this is one thing that they can fan the flames of and get more clicks to their website and all of that. But when you look at it in the broad scope of things, there have been several instances concerning wildlife in the recent past. One of them about a couple of years ago, a hunting guide was charged over in Johnson County for herding elk, you know, with his pickup and, you know, chasing the animals towards, you know, his hunter. Now that's very, very, very illegal. And it's a Game and Fish violation. And that guy got prosecuted. He lost his hunting privileges and a big fine. Okay. So in this situation, we might say a $250 fine for what the guy did, that might be kind of low. Maybe we need to revisit that. But that's really all that it is. We don't have a rash of people abusing wolves in Wyoming. I mean, this is one instance of one bad decision. And I think it was a terrible decision. I would never treat, any animal that way. And so, okay, so the guy needs to be punished. But I do think that the media is taking this thing and blowing it up way out of proportion. And, you know, the instant 24-hour news cycle that we have now, it's pretty easy to get people's emotions stoked up and to get them to say some pretty crazy things. And like I say, I mean, in all things, the media has responsibility. That's why on the Independence Network and our shows, we plainly say, do your own homework. You know what is true for yourself. Don't take my word for it, because you may have a very different opinion than what I do. But at the very least, go do your own research and decide for yourself. I think this wolf thing is a clear example of the media trying to make up people's minds for them. I mean, Lord knows there's been enough articles written about it. I kind of lost count as to how many the Cowpies printed, but it's been a lot. So I guess what I'm saying is the media needs to take some responsibility for what they're doing and maybe tone it down a little bit. Go ahead and wrap it up, Joey.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. We're going to have to keep an eye on a few of these situations, but that's just about the end of another exciting episode of the morning show here on the Independence Network. Going to have a full broadcast day for you here. David Iverson with Cowboy State Politics coming up right after this. So make sure you're sticking around. And tomorrow's going to be a big day. We got brand new episodes of Crosstalk Live and Wide Right Turn coming at you. So make sure you stay tuned in. Share links to all of our shows and our website. And make sure you're getting the word out there and asking yourselves a question while you're doing that research here on the Independence Network.